Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 9 through 13. If you don't have a scripture or a Bible with you, there's one in front of you, a pew Bible. It's so important that you have the Word of God with you. Why? So that you keep me accountable to preaching the Word of God. That's so very important that we do that. And so if you would, we'll be looking at Romans chapter 12, 9 through 13. And the title of this is Healthy Community, Healthy Community. And so let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word, Romans 12, starting at verse 9 through 13. The Word of God says this: Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a few moments. Be glorified through the preaching of your word. Thank you for the privilege. In Christ's name we ask it. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Healthy community, just the thought of that. As we gather on Sunday mornings and the privilege of getting to come back, I'm going to tell you, I look so forward. Last Sunday, we were on a pier down at the beach at Oak Island. It was great that the Oak Island Baptist Church there had an outreach, and on the pier, and the pastor would come. And so there were about 100 people gathered there, and I thought that's such a neat thing. But let me tell you, nothing like being with God's people and my family at South Fork Baptist Church this morning. Why? I love my family. I love being here. I love being with God's people. I love being with community. And when we're talking about community, we need to look around. That's what we are. I talked to some of our brothers and sisters that are visiting for Greenville. Go Pirates right now. Listen, and they're up. And so I said, hey, if you have Christ in your heart, that's all that matters. Make yourself at home. Be with God's people. Why? We're just family. We're family because of what Christ has done for us, and that this healthy community that we have. We've been studying in Romans, and we started out with 1 and 2, and it was talking about giving ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and pleasing, saying not to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then the last sermon that I preached before we left was talking about our spiritual gifts and how God gives each and every one of us here gifts to share within the body of Christ. It's not, these gifts that we have are not about us. It's not about individualism that we are supposed to flaunt, but it's for the edifying of the body. It's for community. And so we need to have a healthy community. We need to be God's people and thriving. And we're not going to ever be perfect, are we? But boy, we should want to be. And so it's working and doing things together and living together. And oftentimes, me and Sandy's had the privilege of traveling around the world and mission work and seeing things. And how many of you have flew on an airplane, right? There you go, commercial airlines. Most of us have experienced that at one time or the other. And just to be honest with you, we always had to sit back and coach, okay? I couldn't afford first class. Could not. We always talked about that. Me and her never have got to experience first class together as a couple. Now, I have been on a mission trip. We were actually going to Haiti, and they bumped me up to first class. I had a bunch of guys, and I was helping to lead that team. And I got to go up there and sit out in first class, and then as they walked by, I said, get on back there and coach. Just playing, just going on and stuff. But to be honest with you, you go back and coach, and you're like, yeah, especially if you're in that middle seat. You ever done that? You feel like you like this, and you're bumping elbows and all that. And we all would prefer first class, wouldn't we? But, I got to thinking about Jesus. Jesus would be a in-the-back guy, would he not? Would he not be a coach guy? He would be back rubbing shoulders and being with people and loving people. And that's how our Savior was. Oh, he was first class all the way, but he would choose. You know what it said? It said that he became poor that we could become rich. I thought it's that kind of thinking, that this transformational thinking that we should have as God's people here in our community. We should have this transformational thinking about how it is that we can better serve God and better serve each other. That's what church is really all about. The South Fork Church family should be full of this transformational life. And you know, when you hear me call, I always say, "Hello, South Fork Church family." That's because we're family. We're family, and that's what it's about. And that's my number one thing I want to think about when I think about you guys. You're my family. But there should be transformational life going on at all times. And we're, you know, I heard somebody say, talking about the church, and it's a group of people that know when you're sick and care when you die. It's a great statement, ain't it? We're in this thing together. We're a community, and we hurt when one hurts, and we're joyful when the other is joyful, and it's no competition, and we should love one another. We're doing life and death, you've heard me say that, together. And that's precious. That's a precious thing. And so Paul sets out these series of commands in our scriptures today. And it's talk about living in this healthy community that we're going to be looking at as we saw using our gifts and being having this it's transformed mind and allowing God to work through us, and it's manifest in this beautiful thing that's called the church. Look around. This is the church. Only God came up with such a thing. Only God could bring a group of people together in harmony and unity and love. That's God's thing. And so I want us to think about as we're going into this, and we'll see the sequence this morning, especially as we get into the 9 and 13. Remember what he listed out in the scriptures from 3 to 8, those spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts and how awesome that they are. And if we're not careful, some of you are very gifted, very talented in the things of God. If we're not careful, we'll latch onto that gift and forget the greatest gift. And I feel like that's what he's going to tell us here. And it's the same pattern. If you remember in 1 Corinthians 12, he lifts off this list of gifts, these great gifts that are to be used. And then what's 1 Corinthians 13? It's the love chapter. It's the love chapter. There's a purpose for him doing this. Why? Love trumps all. If our gifts are not used in love, then what worth are they? In fact, Paul said that if we speak with the tongues of angels and we don't do it in love, he said we're wasting our breath is really what he's saying. We're just wasting our breath. And so I want us to think about this as he's showing us a more excellent way that love trumps giftedness. And that he's going to show us that in this that, hey, the fact that being gifted, if we're not careful, often will bring arrogance. But in a healthy community, it should always be done in love. And so I want us to look at just two. This healthy community requires two truths this morning. And the first one, it requires love without play acting. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. This would be love's foundation. It's what it's speaking about here. And this is love that's with sincerity. It's real. It's not play acting. And this love he's talking about is agape love. And he's only used it about God's love for us, but now he's using it about our love for each other. Paul's talking about our horizontal relationships and how that agape love, and we know that agape love is unconditional love. Donnie spoke this morning about how a lot of times we'll love just for what we can get in return. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Love that is genuine. It's not phony. It's authentic love to one another. The world tells us. You know what the world tells us? First, it'll tell you to love yourself. How many times have we heard that? You can't love anybody until you love yourself. Scripture and verse, please. Show me scripture and verse on that. Please. Guess what? It didn't come from here. It came from the world. And the way the world thinks that you've got to love yourself before you love anybody else. That's not. It says love yourself. Love what? Love your family. Love your friends. The Lord Jesus tells us to love God and love others. Love God and love others is what he says to do. And that's our mission statement here at the Fort. Love God, love others. How simple is that? That's exactly, but it's profound. It's another thing to live it out daily, isn't it? love others as I have loved you. In fact, it's what Jesus said. He gave that command. This has to do with the church family and our community of faith. We'll see next week that we're also to love our enemies. He even goes a step further. But, you know, love should be our brand. It should be our brand. Everybody, when they see you, they should be branded with love. They should know you as God's people. Not know you just as people that go to South Fort Baptist Church, which is a great thing, but know you as Christ followers, sons and daughters of Christ. And the brand of love should mark everything that we do. Everything motivated by love. Just because we love Jesus doesn't mean we're naturally going to love each other. Can anybody say amen to that? You're not. The love we're talking about is not natural. It's supernatural. It comes from a relationship with Christ. And it says love without hypocrisy. That's what the Scripture says here in Romans 12:9. Hypocrisy is a word used for actors. You know what it actually means? A mask on. So what are you talking about? Oh, we're good at putting the mask on. Let's just be honest this morning, all right? We're together. We can be honest. We can put on a mask and play whatever you want to see, right? We're the world's worst on Sunday morning. I thought about bringing a mask and put it on. Just put a mask on. Look, I love you. Did you hear about so-and-so? We're good at putting the mask on, especially on Sunday morning. How's things going? Oh, they're going fine. Your life falling apart. Why is that? It's almost like Satan sells us this bill of goods that we're so put on this phony show. It's put on this act like everything's fine. But you know what? In a healthy community, this is the place that we should come to take the mask off and not ever put it on. To say, listen, I'm struggling, Lee, with this. I'm struggling here. Pray with me, brother. We don't want to do that because we're worried. You know what we're worried about? The fear of man is a stumbling block. That's what Proverbs says. We're worried about what everybody's going to think. Listen, we're in this thing together. We're worried about making God, pleasing God. And when we're pleasing God, we're going to be real to each other. We're not going to be play-acting, saying one thing on one side of our mouth and another thing out the other side of the mouth. We're not going to do that. The audience here, when they saw the character, they would know which character they were play-acting by the mask that they had on. That's what they would be portraying. It's play-acting, and we all know what that's about. And most of the time, if you boil it down to the common denominator, it's pride. Come on. It's pride. It's just our pride. We don't want anybody to know. Here in the South, it ain't nobody's business. Okay? We'll address that in just a minute. Yeah. God's Word. Hey, it's nobody's business. That ain't what God's Word says. In fact, He says we're in this community together. We're to bear one another's burdens is what the Scripture says. We are to bear it, the way it, put it on our shoulders, carry it with us. Pride loves to make an impression, but love lives to make a difference. Love lives to make a difference in people's lives. Cultivate this kind of love. That's what the Scripture calls us. Hypocritical love says nice things to make people feel good just for what you can get in return. You've got to be careful. Oh, we're all good at that. We're all good at the putting, giving the compliments and all that, but we're really just buttering up. We're just kissing up just so we can get something that we want in return. We all know how to play that game. The world teaches you how to do that. It teaches us how. It reminds me of an ad. Listen, Hunter needs a single woman to marry with hunting dogs. And then the rest of it says, send pictures of the hunting dogs. It has an agenda. Is your love have an agenda? Are you sweet and nice to somebody by what you can think that you can get? Everybody knows how to work that and how to play that. And somebody that says it don't is lying. We've got to be careful. Our love needs to be genuine here in our community, in our healthy community. True love doesn't speak one way in your presence and speak another way in my absence. It is sincere. It has integrity. This is love that has integrity. Love that has integrity, what? It's discerning. It's discerning. Look what verse 9 says. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. It refuses what is evil. Love loves the truth. Love loves the truth. Godly truth. You know what? It doesn't say this. When you see somebody walking in sin, living in sin, doing something against God's word, it doesn't say, well, it would be better off loving to them if I didn't say anything to them. That is not love. Don't buy into that lie. True love loves the truth. Enough that you put yourself on the line and you'll go up and you'll say, hey, heard this or I saw this. I'm just worried. I want to find out what's going on in your life. I'm here for you. You can confide in me. Truth without love is not love at all. That's what the world wants. What kind of love is it that it conjures up? Well, you can watch your movies and see all that. Hollywood kind of love, right? Oh, my first love. Yeah, that's what we want. I mean, that's seriously. Come on. My endless love. Biblical love's a choice. Now sometimes, hey, it's okay, I got that feeling too. It's a good time. I got that kind of feeling, right? It's good. It can be very emotional. I'm not taking away from that. It can be very romantic. All those things. But listen, biblical love's a choice. I choose to love that person. I don't choose to love that person in who I think they ought to be or who I can change them into being who I want them to be. I choose to love that person the way God made them. That's love. And so it's discerning. It says, hey, abhor what's evil. You just wouldn't be loving to allow sin to go on and not address it in people's lives. It says, that's not loving at all. But it says cling. Look at the next part. Cling, that means stick like glue, like those glue sticks that we're getting for the kids. I can see them with their little fingers. Stick like glue. If you ever had kids that are making those crafts and they got it all over their finger and you can't get it off? Stick like glue to what is what? What is good? Love clings to the truth. Healthy community requires speaking the truth in love. True love has a moral and a spiritual sensitivity. It's discerning. Not only that, though, look, it's emotional, has emotional commitment. Has an emotional commitment to it. Look at verse 10a. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. It doesn't take the emotion out of it. It doesn't take the fervor out of it. But it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. We know that love, brotherly love, is where they named Philadelphia after, right? The city of brotherly love. It's brotherly love. It's family. It's caring. And it says, be kindly affectionate. It's talking about being devoted to one another. Love for the family. It could be, this is how it could be translated, have a deep, deep family affection towards one another. Do you have that in your community, in your church community? Brotherly love has an emotional component. It's talking about an emotional commitment. It's easy to, you know what it's easy to say? I've heard this say, let's be honest, and you might have said it. Well, I love that person. I just don't like them. Come on. This word closes that gap. You know what it says? Be devoted to one another. You can't love them and not like them, okay? I don't know who come up with that. I love them, but I just don't like them. It says, be devoted to one another. What is devotion? It's love, regardless. We got different personalities here. Ain't you glad God didn't make us all the same? Praise God he didn't make them all like me, or we'd been in a world of trouble. The world couldn't handle too many rednecks like me. Aren't you glad God made us different? And you heard me say that. The God that made the butterfly made the rhinoceros. Come on. He's diverse, and we're all diverse here. And there's no two people sitting in this room alike. Nobody has the same DNA in 7.4 billion in the whole world. That means you're unique. God made you unique. And God, listen, we're not going to be the same, but we learn the common focus of the same, and that's Christ, and making much of Christ and glorifying Him. And that'll overcome a lot of our idiosyncrasies, will it not? It'll overcome that if we keep it. It has this emotion that with it, Southport church family, man. Family kind of love. That's what we are. Listen, do you always get along with your family? Huh? Sometimes we want to kill each other, right? We get aggravated and all those things, but you don't quit loving. Some of the best arguments I had, she's not here, look, I can say it. She's not listening. Some of the best arguments I have is with the person I love the most in this whole world. Does that make me quit loving her? No. I understand that sometimes, you know, most of the time, it's my problem. She'll tell you that, no. Listen, it's my pride. It's my pride. And Satan, you know what Satan wants to do? Kill, steal, and destroy your family. If you don't believe that, you just step back and look at our families and what he does. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy every family. It's in here. That's his job. It's not us against the people of the world. It's us against Satan. And praying against sin and what he does. And you see the attacks every day on the news. You see all the things that's going on. That's what he desires to do. But you know what? Love trumps hatred. It has this emotional component. In our culture, relationships are entered and left so easily. Are they not? Entered and left so easily. Our churches are entered and left so easily. This is, you know what? It's eating the heart out of our churches in America today. The consumerism of America, not understanding what God's plan is for the body and the sanctity of the body and working together. It's eating the heart out of our churches. Why? Because the individualism of America has got us by the throat. And it's teaching us to take care of ourselves and not worry about anybody else. And that's contrary to God's Word. And it's eating the heart. Why? Because we're bombarded with it. We sit down, we just want to rest, and you think you turn on the TV, and it doesn't have an agenda. You can just watch any old shows. Wrong answer. There's agenda always, and they're always trying to implement something in our life, even in our entertainment. We just think, hey, it don't bother us. And we're constantly bombarded with it, constantly, an agenda. God doesn't say anything about individualism. He says about community and loving one another and working together as we're headed towards a goal, and that's the upward call of God. And the prize is Christ Jesus. It's discerning, has an emotional commitment, but also it's humble. This love with integrity. It's humble. Look what it says. In honor, giving preference to one another. Most people are concerned about being something or someone important. We should be concerned about doing something for someone else. Helping somebody in their journey called life. Helping each other as we go along in life. One of the great things is that we're doing right now is these devotions. And I love Sunday this morning was the 1 Corinthians. And he was talking about how gifted they were. Man, they were so gifted. And yet they were fighting one another over the gifts. God didn't give us gifts and talents to fight. It's not about our individualism. It's about a community. It's about the edification of the church as a whole. And so this is a great devotion, a way that we can be working together. Get you one of those books if you don't have one. It's good to be in the same place and working and see Lee with that. I know you've still got some, right? Good. Good. But healthy families have a mutual respect. They're not in honor giving preference to one another. We are to mutually reference one another or respect one another. Mutually. Why? Because we're important. Everybody's important. That's here. And we love. And when somebody's out, miss them enough, care enough about them, check on them. See how they're doing. We never know what's brought in here or the hardships that people have faced through the week. And we never know if we don't inquire, if we don't ask questions and love one another in that way. Fighting in the church testifies to the world there's no difference. We're no different than they are. Why? Oh, they're fighting out there. Men are fighting in their families. They're fighting in their jobs. They're fighting everywhere they're at school. This should be a place of solace. That we don't, when people come here, they don't see fighting. That's what the Baptist church is known for. Shame on us. We should never be proud of that. We should be so ashamed of that. Fighting amongst each other. Church splits. That's a disdain on the name of God. We shouldn't be known for that. We should be known for the love of Christ. When people come in here, it doesn't matter where they're visiting, they should feel at home. They should feel the sense of community. They should feel the sense of love and fellowship. And that's what church is about. It's a place for somebody to come in and say, whew, just sit down and worship and be loved and feel loved. Feel Christ's love. We're to honor and give preference to one another. Put others first. Don't be the first one. When we have food over here, don't be the first one in line. Don't let your kids go run. Teach your kids that. Who's going to teach them? Listen, let me just get this off my chest too. The next time we have visitors and we have something to eat out here, they better not be sitting out on the porch. Because you've got your table and sitting down, and you don't give a flip about somebody visiting. Give them preference. Let them have a place of honor. Teach them this is what Christ community looks like. It's not about taking care of ourselves. They shouldn't be out in sitting on the steps because they're not eating tables. We should be the one to get up and say, here, sit here. Should we not? Is that not God's community? Is that not what it's about? Not serving ourselves. But if we don't think about it, that's what we do. We just buy in. Hey, we just take care of ourselves. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, nobody's going to take care of us. Not biblical. Show me scripture and verse. We go by this, not what the world says. Well, we see that love, this kind of love, healthy community requires love without play acting. But lastly, it requires love that is expressed. Look at verses 11 through 13. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. A healthy community has love that inspires and rejects apathy. Listen, I remember Lee saying this not too long ago. Hatred is not the opposite of love. Apathy is. Not doing anything. Christ followers refuse apathy. What does it say? Not lacking in diligence. We're diligent. Not that lacking in it. Keeping on fire. What does it say? Fervent in the Spirit. The fire of the Spirit of God. Man, we should be the most excited people. Not dragging in and dragging out, but excited. Why? We've got the Holy Spirit of God. All we have is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Woo! We ought to get happy. Man, we shouldn't be dragging in and dragging out. Oh, praise God. Yeah, Lord, I've had a rough week. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. Listen, we should be, I've had a rough week, but you know what? Jesus Christ, all I've got's eternal life. Woo! Get a hold of that. All I've got's eternal life. What do you mean? One of these days, we're walking that road, all of us here together. We're walking down the road that one day you will breathe your last breath. I hope this is not profound to you, but you understand this. Don't live for just the day, young people. Don't just think, well, it's never going to happen. It comes quick. And so our life here on this earth is short. It's just a vapor. Could the trumpet sound? Any minute. And we could go to be with Jesus. But until then, we're all walking that road. And the end of that road should look better than the start of that road. We should be growing in grace and knowledge of Christ, looking more like Him. And the closer we get to heaven, listen, the closer we ought to look like His children. We've got something the world don't have. And that's eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He stepped out of heaven, gave His life on a cross, on Calvary, died, was buried, but rose on the third day that anybody that would put their trust in Him would have eternal life and not perish. A billion years from now, you're going to have to put up with me. Ooh, who's that over there hollering in the corner? It's that redneck from South Fork. I'm going to do a little holler now. Because I'm excited for what God's done for me. How come we're not excited? We should be the most excited people. I know life can be hard, and we see that we're going to see this, where He speaks about tribulation. You know what? But true followers of Christ don't burn out. Why do they not burn out? If you burn out, you're using the wrong fuel, okay? Don't lack in zeal, but glow in the Spirit. Glow. And when this happens, look what it says. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit. And then the next part, serving the Lord. I want you to understand that thing that you're looking for, that you're like, man, I'm missing. I feel like I'm missing something. It might be just serving the Lord. Finding your place in the community and thriving in it. Allowing God to use you. And it brings fulfillment. It brings this completeness that we're all looking for and searching for. This completeness in the Lord. Serving the Lord will be the result when we have this diligence, not lacking and fervent in spirit. We're going to serve the Lord. See, it's not enough just to have enthusiasm. You got to serve the Lord. Good intentions don't cut it when it comes to serving Him. We can have all kinds of good intentions, but it's got to come through in our service and living it out to Him. Growing people will serve the Lord, not just in the good times, but also look at verse 12 in tribulations. It says, look, patient in tribulation. But we see these attributes of love in that same verse. What does it say? Hope, patience, steadfast. Life can be challenging. Love requires a response, and it calls for energy. Energy. Love requires this godly response, joyful in hope and suffering. It's enduring. It's persevering. It's like that Energizer bunny. It just keeps going and going and going. Why? It just has the Holy Spirit of God that's driving it. It just keeps going no matter what comes our way. We have hope eternal. And we can say, praise be unto God no matter what we face. Why? We know who holds tomorrow. And we know who holds our hand. And it's Christ. That's healthy community. A healthy community is God-centered and other-centered. Why? Because when God is the center of, you know what, we'll be generous. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Sharing the needs of each other, giving actually means pursuing hospitality. And it's talking about going out, meeting the needs of others, loving each other enough that we find out the needs, helping one another, doing life together. Guess what? Sometimes I need your help. Sometimes you need my help. It's doing life and having these things. It's being this hospitality, being hospitable. It's opening our life and our hearts to one another and loving in that way and allowing Christ to live through us. It's Galatians 6:10 kind of living, and this is what it says. Look, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. This is a kind of love that changes us. It's this giving, this looking for the opportunities to help one another, being involved in each other's lives, not being distant, but being together, coming together every chance that we get, loving together, trying to reach our community that God knows needs it right here in Todd, North Carolina, trying to reach them, having a game plan. Love changes the way I do life. It opens up to others. It says hospitality. It's sharing life together. That's true community. I pursue it. I don't wait for them to come to me. I go to them. I look for those opportunities myself. I'm proactive. It's true community. Healthy community requires love that is sincere and expressed in daily life. We're not consumers, but we show love in practical ways. We live out these commands and keep going and keep pressing forward until we are the upward prize of Christ Jesus, that calling one day. We keep going. Guess what? Now, everybody ready for this? There's no retirement plan in here. I hope I didn't ruin your day. There's no retirement plan in here. We don't get to a certain age and quit serving the Lord. We do not. Well, I've done it all my life. I'm going to let the young people do it. You need to teach the young people to do it. That's what Titus 2 says. Does it not? Does it not, Lee? Titus 2 says, hey, take you ladies, older ladies, you take the young ladies under your wing and you teach them. How are they going to know what to do if somebody ain't teaching them what to do? It's our next church, our next generation is dependent on us. And it will be on us when it falls apart, okay? Not on them, because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Teaching them, taking them under our wings, loving them. We never get to a point where we retire. Whew. Oh, I'm done now. I'm just kicking up. Come on, Jesus. I'm ready to go. I'm serious. That's all right. That's all right with your job. That ain't all right when the things of God. If fact, we don't see that. We go until the Lord Jesus calls us or He comes back. We go to our last breath. If all we can do, if we get to the point where all we can do is lay in a bed, then we pray. We pray. We do whatever it is that we need to do until we draw our last breath. That's healthy community. That's living and loving in Jesus' name. That is South Fork Church family. That's community, and that's healthy community. And that's what Paul's getting at. He's talking to a local church. He's talking to the church at Rome. And he's saying this is what it's supposed to look like. Linda, come and play. And we'll have our applications. Listen to this. First application. Are you sincere in loving your brothers and sisters? Do you really love your community? Are you really sincere in loving them? My question but with that would be, how are you serving the Lord then in your community? Second, how do you express your love for your church family? Okay, if you're sincere for your brother and you love your brothers and sister, how are you expressing that? Because, like I said, it's easy to say it with our mouth, but it's easy to be enthusiastic, but how are we expressing that kind of love? How are we showing that kind of love? Lastly, how will you purpose to go forward to keep a healthy community right here at South Fork Baptist Church? It takes intentional living, transformational living. How will you purpose to go forward to keep a healthy community? Let's stand to our feet. What's the Lord saying to you? Listen, I don't want you to worry about anybody that's in this room right now. Shut your eyes. This is between you and the Lord. Right now, before the Lord, what's He said to you? If He said something, if He said, you know what, this is area of your life, I want you to change that, then you ask Him to give you the strength to change it. This altar is open. If somebody does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, do not leave here without Christ. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. He stands waiting on you. Just give your heart to Christ. You can do it right there in your chair. You can say, Lord Jesus, I don't know You, but I want to receive You as personal Savior. Today, I commit my life to You. You make that commitment. You make that known today. The altar's open. However you'd want to pray, I'm going to give you a few minutes before the Lord. But don't hesitate, because Satan will snatch it away. Look here. I love you. Healthy community is what it's about. It's doing life, death together. Speaking truth into each other's life. You need an accountability partner. You need somebody that you can talk to if you're struggling. You need to find that. You need to be that. We need to do that. Why? The time is growing dire. The world is on attack. We've got to be God. We got to quit play acting. We've got to take the mask off and be real before the Lord. Allow Him to use you to reach a lost world. Why? It's the only thing one day it's going to matter when we stand before Him, okay? 6 o'clock, we have brotherhood. We'll have the women's meeting. We'll have children, kingdom kids, so there's something here for everybody. And so also make sure to take a pink card, if you would, pray for the youth as they go on their trip this week. I hope you have a great time, Lee, and the Lord protection. We'll be praying for you. Listen, I love you. Closes.